Well, how many of you have ever heard someone say this? You know, when I go to church, I don't want to hear someone tell me, don't do this and don't do that. I want to hear something positive. I want to hear something uplifting. You know, I want to hear about love. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear about love because love is all you need, right? Have you ever heard someone say that? Maybe you've even said that from time to time. Well, while I certainly agree that there needs to be a healthy balance of encouragement and rebuke in a church setting, here's the deal. Any preacher who is going to use the Bible to talk about love is going to have a very hard time doing so without using the phrase, do not do this or do not do that. In fact, in our probably the most famous love passage in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, what do we find there? Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not self-seeking. And so when we really understand what love is, we're going to hear these do not phrases. And we've seen that to be the case as we've been going through our study on loving our neighbor and what that looks like as we're in week number 5 today out of Leviticus 19. So if you take your Bible and open there, I want to focus mainly today on verse 16 in our passage. But let's read through this again, verses 9 through 18 in Leviticus chapter 19. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God, I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I'm not sure if you counted how many times the phrase do not was in that passage, but I counted 15 times. Now, I could have been off, but I counted 15 times in those 10 verses. And some will say, well, you know, but really only verse 18 is about love. That's the only verse that we find love mentioned. But here's the deal. That whole passage really deals with how we are to love our neighbor. You could say verse 18 is simply the exclamation point of that passage. All of those verses deal with how we are to truly love our neighbor. Well, the two phrases that I want us to look at, again, comes out of verse 16 in our passage. Two do not phrases. And the first do not phrase is do not go about spreading slander among your people. Now that word slander is defined this way. It is the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or statements damaging to a third person's character or reputation. And so we see that a key element to this sin is saying something about person A in the presence of person B. And so we really ought to think long and hard before we say something about person A in the presence of person B or C or D or however many people may be in our presence. Now, certainly it's not wrong, it's not a sin to say something about a person in front of another person. If I say to Donna, hey, you know what? Arlene got a great deal on vinegar this week at BJ's. It was just phenomenal. She was so excited. Now, if that's a true statement, there's nothing sinful about me just sharing that little piece of information. Now, if my heart is maybe trying to mock Arlene, well, then that's an issue there. But if I'm just making a statement that's true, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But again, we need to be very careful how we say what we say, what we say what we say, and why we say what we say about someone in the presence of another person. And why is that? Because as we learned last week, we can be guilty of making a wrong judgment. And again, if you were here last week, we talked about it's okay to make a judgment. In fact, Jesus himself said, don't judge by mere appearances, but make a right judgment. Our passage says, judge your neighbor fairly. The problem we get into is when we start judging motives or we judge the intents of the heart. And so last week I gave the example of John. I said, you know, I know why John did what he did. He just wanted a pat on the back, just as an example. And so let's suppose that John volunteered to mow the lawn, the church lawn. And I say, you know what? The only reason he did that was he just wanted to look good. He just wanted a pat on the back. And so I say to Jeff, hey, Jeff, do you know why John? You know why John mowed the lawn? He just wanted to impress people. He just wanted to show off his zero turn mower skills. Yeah, he had this big yellow bright shirt on so that as people drove by, they'd notice him and they'd maybe praise him and applaud him for doing that. And so I've made a false statement because I don't know John's heart. I don't know why John did that. Hopefully he had pure servanthood motives. But when I make that false statement in front of Jeff, I'm guilty of slander. I'm spreading slander against my brother. And so Jeff may now have a perception of John that isn't true, that isn't right. And so you can see how damaging slander can be and how slander leads to all kinds of other sins, doesn't it? Like hatred, and people hold grudges, and all these things just swell out of this sin of slander. Well, as we consider the root of this sin, what is it? What's the root of slander? Well, there could be many roots, but I think one main root of slander is simply pride. It's simply pride. How so? Well, if I can just knock John down a few notches by saying something negative or bad about him, then maybe Jeff will have a better impression of me. Maybe I'll be exalted. It's that old game, you know that game where if you can knock someone down a few pegs, you exalt yourself. It's just automatic. You see, it's one thing to go around and toot your own horn and let everybody know how great you are. That's one way to exalt yourself. But you know, a deceptive way of exalting yourself, or a sneaky way, it's just knocking others down. If you can keep knocking others down and slandering them, guess what? You're eventually exalting yourself. And this happens again in this sin of slander. And God says, do not do this. Do not do this. It's evil. And in the day that we live in, it's important that we understand that not only can we sin with our tongues, the sin of slander, but we can sin with our fingertips. Because we live in an age that has so much social media, so many words are out there for everyone to hear and see. And many of us may think, well, you know, I'm not saying it, so it's not that bad. I'm just typing it. But if any of you are on social media, and I'm sure some of you are, you can see the amount of slander that goes on through social media. It's amazing, the amount of slander. Someone may make a comment about someone else without knowing the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They may make a comment about someone thinking they know their heart's intent, they know the motives of why they do what they do, and they put it out there for others to see. And with social media, it's not just one person who's hearing it, is it? It's often hundreds, maybe thousands of people that you've just made public. And so there's even a greater accountability before God through social media. So let me challenge each of you here and myself who use social media. Before you make a comment, ask yourself these three questions. Number one, is this true? Is what I'm about to say or post, is this true? If I'm not convinced and I don't know for certain that it's true, then I shouldn't type it. Number two, is it kind? Love is kind, the Bible says. So is my heart filled with kindness as I'm writing this? Or is my heart filled with hatred as I'm writing this? And number three, is it necessary? Do I really even need to say this? Do I even need to post this to begin with? So much of what's on social media is unnecessary. It's unneeded. The Bible says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, those who are going to hear it, or those who are going to read it. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Ask yourself those three questions, because God takes slander very seriously. Listen to what the Word of God says in Psalm chapter 50, verses 16 through 21. It says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. It's interesting here in this passage that the psalmist says in the same breath, he talks about the sin of adultery, the sin of thievery, and the sin of slander in the same breath. And he's referring to those who are wicked, those who are unbelievers. And this is prevalent in their lives is what he's saying. And so if you look into your life and you can see that slander is something that you consistently fall into this pattern of, you have to ask yourself, well, where is my heart? Where is my faith? Is my faith even in God? If I'm continually slandering others? And certainly all of us can fall. As we heard in our scripture reading, no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. I think we can all raise our hand and say, I have been guilty of slander. My tongue has spoken a slanderous thing. We're all guilty of that, but is this a pattern in your life where every day you're slandering people? If so, then you need to do some soul searching, because this is not a mark of a believer. This is not the mark of someone who has been changed by the grace of God, someone who is a new creation in Christ. Listen to what the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 5 through 10, the Apostle Paul would say this regarding our new nature. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Listen, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips and from your keyboards. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Well, the second do not phrase we see in our passage is do not endanger someone's life. The Hebrew literally reads this, and some of your translations may have it this way. You shall not stand against the blood of your neighbor. That's what's meant there. Now, when we hear that word endangerment, what do you think of? You may think of the news story where you hear of a parent who left their child in a hot car and went shopping. And while they were shopping, a policeman came, saw the child in the car, and that person was arrested for what? Child endangerment, right? That's how we think of that word. And so when we think of what's being said here, it's someone who has the ability to keep someone from danger or harm, but they don't do anything about it. And so this idea of standing against the blood of another is you have the ability to protect the life or the blood of someone, and you don't. You let them go down a dangerous road. You do nothing to protect them and to preserve their life. Take, for example, you hear that your neighbor, someone's plotting to kill your neighbor. You've got a teenager and they've got some buddies, and you get word that, you know, these guys on this Friday, when your neighbor gets out of work, they've got it all planned out. They're going to stab him in the back, kill this guy, and you know about that, and yet you do nothing. You don't say anything to your neighbor. You don't warn him. You don't try to stop those young people from doing this. You don't do anything. This is what's meant here. You don't do anything about it. You're actually standing against the blood of your neighbor when you do that. Now, most of us probably never face a situation like that. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of, you know, a plot to kill your neighbor. Probably not, right? And so as I thought about, you know, how do we apply this to our lives today? Because this is probably not something all too common where we hear of this. So as I began to think about it, I said, well how can we apply this? My mind couldn't help but think of what is going on in our land and has been going on in our land for many years, where today, this day, 3,000 little babies will be murdered today in our land. And I had to ask myself, well, what am I doing to prevent that? What am I doing to stop their blood from being taken, their lives from being taken? What can I do? And I don't have all the answers. But as I thought about that, I said, you know what? I don't do enough. I don't do enough to stop that. And you say, well, Pastor, how would you know who's gonna have an abortion and who isn't? Well, I may not know that. But I can certainly do something. I'd ask you to search your heart too. Search your soul on how you may stop the craziness that's going on in our land, that has been going on in our land. Again, think about the outrage that happens over that child that's left in the car, and how people want justice for the parents. And that's just one child. And yet 3,000 children today will be slaughtered on our watch. And so what are we doing about it? What am I doing about it? You know, I'm very thankful that there is a movement in our land to see abortion abolished. Just like in the 1800s when people went against the flow and stood against slavery to see it abolished, there's a movement in our land. And it's through many young people, teenagers in their 20s and 30s who are rising up and saying, why are we silent? Why aren't we doing something? Why aren't we pleading with young mothers? Don't do this. Don't kill your baby. And what's really neat is this, is that yes, there are extremists, and you can hear about the extremists, but for many of these people, they're not just saying, hey, this is evil, don't do it, but they're also doing this. They're offering their hand and saying, do you need help? Do you need money for rent? Let me help you. Do you need money for diapers? Let me help. Do you need someone to adopt your baby? We'll adopt your baby. Just don't kill your baby. That's what I believe the church should be doing. Saying, yes, it's evil, don't do it, but also with the other hand saying, how can we help you? That's one way to live out this command, because we always need to know, no matter what our culture says, we need to know what God thinks about it. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 6 says. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, listen to this one, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And the key one there is hands that shed innocent blood. You know, God hates that. And so we need to hate what God hates and love what God loves when it comes to this topic. Listen to how the Apostle Paul speaks of loving your neighbor, another scripture here. Romans 13, verses 9 and 10. He says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And again, if we have the power, the ability to keep someone from being harmed, to protect and preserve their life, and that is one way that we can actually show love to our neighbor. Not only is it important to think of protecting, preserving life in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense as well. And I want to touch on this for a little bit. You see, not only can we endanger someone's physical life, but we can also endanger their spiritual life as well. How so? Well, one of the things we talked about last week was the brother who has a log in his eye and he seeks to take the speck out of his brother's eye. And so that can be damaging to a brother if that one brother doesn't first look at himself in the mirror and take out the plank. We can do damage that way by saying things we ought not say. But you know what? We can often do damage, and I speak for me, by not saying something that I should say. What's called the sin of silence. Perhaps you think like I do sometimes. You say, well, you know, I don't want to. I mean, who am I? Who am I to say something? You know, I'm a sinner. I just want to extend grace to them. I mean, I don't want to be a nitpicker, so I won't say anything. And yet often I can harm that person spiritually by not saying anything. Perhaps you can relate to that as well. Listen to what James says. Our final scripture reading today is out of James 1, 19 and 20. He says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And what are we told by the Apostle Peter? That love covers, right, over a multitude of sins. True love will warn a brother or warn a sister from the deception and danger of sin. And so God help us to be those people who can speak, yes, gently and lovingly, not harshly into people's lives, but gently. When we see a brother or sister drifting and going astray, and too often it's easy just to say nothing, but I believe God would have us say something to those as a way to demonstrate the love that we have for them. God help us. God help us to do that. Well, as we close today, I think we can all say that we've been guilty of both these do nots. You know, do not slander. I think how many of us have said something and we don't have all the info, we don't have all the facts. We think we know why someone does something and we don't. I know I've been guilty of that. And number two, endangering someone's life, if not physically, then maybe spiritually. Maybe we haven't done what we need to do to protect them and from themselves and from sin. And the good news of the gospel is that the gospel reminds us of this, is that God's grace is greater than what? All of our sin. Even the sin of slander, the sin of endangering someone's life. God's grace can cover that. And so today, if you're in Christ, praise God for his grace. Praise God for his love that covers over a multitude of our sins. That we've been washed and we've been renewed and forgiven because of the blood of Christ, because of the sacrifice of Christ. And we can trust in that forgiveness that's whole and complete and free for us. And today, if you're not in Christ, if you've never come to that place where you've trusted in Jesus, then know this, you will give an account before God of your slander, of your endangerment. That will stand before the judgment seat of God. Every idle word that you speak will come before the judgment seat of God. And so what you need today is the mercy of God. You need the mercy of Christ. Turn to Christ today if you don't know him. Turn to Jesus. Humble yourself before him. Believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Christ today? Is he your all in all? Is he your king? Is he your savior? If not, then turn to him today by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and though it was written to your old covenant saints, Lord, there's so much application for we who are New Testament saints today, Lord. Lord, thank you that your truth never changes, your heart never changes, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can understand how we can love our neighbor through your word. God, I pray that you would help us to guard our tongues. Lord, it's so easy to have a quick tongue, to speak before we think, to not know everything and think we do. Lord, in our pride, we may knock others down so that we'll be elevated. Lord, forgive us for the sin of slander. God, I pray that we would also never stand against the blood of another. And often we do that by being silent. So Lord, help us to use our words wisely, to speak lovingly and kindly to those that you put on our hearts to speak to. Lord, help us to walk with you this week, just loving you and knowing you more, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.